Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Rack and Yak.
It's time for What Mark Heard on Saturday Suckage with Mark Grody and Steve Rosenblum.
Boy, everyone is stupid except me.
Indeed, it's time for What Mark Heard, our near award-winning segment, Saturday Suckage on Monday. We're here for you. We suck so you don't have to. It's just our holiday gift to you. Mark, share with the class. What
All
did
right.
Mark heard?
I heard a lot. I heard a lot of Bears, so we're gonna Bears will dominate
Yay.
This the next half an hour of your life. We are talking Bears, and that is because in part, the Bears have an OTA, organized team activities, coming up this week, Tuesday, that's tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. Wednesday is the day that you should highlight because that is the day that we, the media, are allowed to be in Lake Forest and watching Justin Fields and Andy Dalton and the rest of the Bears do their thing. Now, that specifically, because that's where all eyes will be, and we were told, Matt Nagy said, that Andy Dalton is the starter, and that means that he will get the first team reps when the team is together, and they are out there practicing. Mike Lombardi is a regular guest on the Molly and Haw show. He, a former general manager of the Cleveland Browns and now an Odyssey sports talker, was talking about how this OTA or this session or the preseason should go down for the Bears in terms of how many throws each quarterback gets. Here's Lombardi.
The chief executive officer of the football team, the head coach, his main responsibility is to figure out who gets reps. And who gets those reps is based on who we think can develop into a potential starter, who's going to start and carry the team. And how do I give those guys reps? This is where Nick Foles is going to have to be cast aside. Because you can't give Nick Foles reps and take him away from Justin Fields, who you think the more reps he gets, the better off he'll be. So what really has to happen is there's got to be a 50-50 split in terms of the reps. Because Fields needs them all. He can't get them all. Dalton needs some too. The odd man out is going to be Foles. And I would go to camp and I would make sure that Fields got at least as many reps as Dalton. And then he got every single rep after practice, allotting to the time that you're allowed to stay on the field. And spend as much time as you possibly can getting him up to speed. And then making sure you understand there's five or six things he does really well. And make sure that's part of the offense every week.
I like what he's saying, because if that is the case, if it was to be 50-50 between those two guys, Justin Fields and Andy Dalton, you have a quarterback competition then. That's what that would be, assuming they kept that going throughout the preseason, and that would give more of a chance for Justin Fields to be the starter on September 12th.
You have two guys, and neither of whom have played in the system, right? So one's
Correct.
A real rookie. The other one is a rookie to the system, but an NFL
yes.
veteran. And what Mike Lombardi is saying makes sense, and it's just tough luck for Nick Foles. You had a shot last year. You were supposed to be better than you were. Line in front of you was not the best it could be, but we've moved on from you. That's essentially what it is, and you're collecting money. We're paying you to shut up. When you go there Wednesday, it struck me that I don't know whether you're allowed to watch the whole thing or you're just allowed out for part of it. What are you allowed to watch when you
good
go there
question.
Wednesday?
That's a good question. I think we will get to see a pretty good chunk of it. Yeah, I think it's. I don't know that it's the entire practice, but if I recall correctly, and it's hard. I say that because things were different last year, but I think we'll get to see most of it.
I would think you would do well, whether it's for our show or not, and other people will do it, is to count the reps each guy gets.
Of course.
I'm sure that will be the topic that afternoon, the next day, just to see if it is 50-50. To my knowledge, you can instruct me or correct me. Has Matt Nagy said it will be a 50-50 split, even though Dalton's number one?
No, I don't think he has said that unless I am misremembering. I think the only thing that he revealed to us is that Andy Dalton would be the first guy up, in he would get the first reps with the first team. It doesn't necessarily mean it'll be 50-50. It doesn't even necessarily mean that Andy Dalton gets the majority of the reps. It's you have honors. You are the guy who we have penciled in as our starting quarterback. You will be the first one to be throwing to the first teamers. That's what I have heard from Matt Nagy.
All right. So we'll see. We'll have to keep track and count. All right.
Let's move on here to the next thing. And two more cuts from Michael Lombardi in regarding the Bears. And this is what Mark heard with Rosenblum and Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score here until Cubs baseball at 12:45. So Mike Lombardi talked about one of the benefits or one of the things that Fields will work on during the preseason and the offseason program. Here's Mike.
Are there mechanical issues that need to be solved before he can play in the NFL?
You know, I think that's one of the biggest concerns you had about him. I mean, his arm, it's a loose arm that lacks, sometimes he can control it. He's a stepper, which means he really has to have a pocket wide clean for him to step into throws. And so those are things that he's going to have to really work on his mechanics and change how he throws the football. I think that was one of the concerns that people had. I talked about it on my podcast quite often, and I said if Tom Brady were to watch, Tom Brady is a scientist when it comes to throwing the football. I mean, he's worked on it much like Phil Mickelson's worked on his golf swing. He continues to tinker with it and really spend time on it, and he's really taught me a lot about the mechanics of throwing the football, which is an area scout or a director of personnel or a general manager. Sometimes you get caught up in not really understanding the essence of it. And Brady spent a lot of time teaching it to everybody. And I've said this on my pod, if Brady were to watch Justin throw the ball, he would change his mechanics. Now, you know, we'll see how quickly that can adapt, because much like a golf swing, it's got to be able to hold up under pressure. You know, you can change your golf swing and go out and hit a bucket of balls. It looks good. You know, you're in the final round of the Masters. You've got to make sure it holds up. And I think that's the question mark. But I think for Justin Fields, look, we all have opinions on Justin Fields, right? Everybody has opinions. You know, Mel Kiper had him as his best quarterback other than Trevor Lawrence, whatever it is. All right. Now's not the time to go back over the opinions. Now's the time to watch him play, see what happens, and let him see what he can do and see what he improves his game.
There's Mike Lombardi, again, talking about mechanics, some things that need to be tightened up. I think they could, if he's a stepper, as he said, I think that can be tightened up. But I will say this, too, that, yeah, mechanics are important, and we've seen some quarterbacks fail or not live up to potential because of mechanical issues, but not always. You know what I mean? Like, there's plenty of quarterbacks who have thrived in this league who have had, you know, shoddy mechanics at times and have been very good. There are guys who, like Tom Brady, I think of like Troy Aikman as guys that were like super mechanically sound, but you could probably go through the NFL and find about half of the starters that have flaws in their mechanics and still have success.
Well, Jay's mechanics went to pot. He was often throwing off his back foot, getting away with a strong arm. So
He got away with it a lot, too.
Do you ever heard the term, he's a stepper?
So
he
no, I like
pocket,
that.
But I don't. Okay, so that's the other option is it's just the guy who throws with only his upper body. And I don't. Was that Dan Marino? He didn't need a pocket.
Shouldn't everybody be a stepper?
Well, that's what I'm trying. I'd never heard the phrase. I don't know how that breaks down, who the Venn diagram is, you know, who's in the middle of quarterback mechanics, bad mechanic, whatever. Who are the examples? Stepper, non-stepper. kind of
guy.
Yeah,
so I think of John Elway's have been a stepper, but like or pronounced stepping. But yeah, I would think that if you have the luxury of time that in a particular play, you'd want to step into it, right?
Yeah, I guess. Strong arm on the. I don't know. I don't know. We'll watch. The one part was the end of that cut when Lombardi says it's just time to watch him play. Because whatever he had before was, well, he holds on to the ball too long. Well, he needs a pocket to protect it. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter what you said before. Well, there's actual football that's going to be played, and we're going to see what he needs to do. However live it's going to be, I don't know how often, not in OTAs, when's the first time he's going to face something live? When can he first be tackled? When can he have his life threatened?
Training camp.
But they can't touch him in training camp. So it would have to be a game? Was that an exhibition game? Is that the first time he can have his life threatened? That's when you see mechanics, by the way.
Yeah, right. Under when your pressure. Life is being threatened.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's true.
Yes.
We saw that with Cutler. Cutler was the most extreme example. It's, boy, he looks like he looks great. Uh-oh, there's pressure. He's throwing off his back foot. And there's Charles Woodson picking him off. Yeah.
Saturday, August 14th, the Bears host the Miami Dolphins at noon in a preseason game. So I guess you're right. That would probably be the first time that they're. But my God, I mean, the way that Matt Nagy has used, or should I say not used, quarterbacks in the preseason. Now that, as we get closer to August 14th, that's going to be interesting to see the quarterback breakdown. How much do you want to risk your starter or even the jewel of your franchise in Justin Fields? Stand by for that sports radio hot talking. That is
right.
Soon.
There you go. Nice tease. Yeah. And that's when we'll be off the air, is game one of the NFL season. That's when we'll finally end this marathon broadcast. Is your mom listening? Does Jean Grody have thoughts on this?
She did, actually. When you were making your little Steve Rosenblum jokes about it, and still are, way back when we did our last show together, my mom was like, now what is going on with you guys? Now Steve keeps on talking about some show that you guys are doing where you're going to be on the air until July. How long are you guys going to be on the radio that day? What is going on?
We love Jean Grody. Yes. Did you set her straight?
I told her. Well, this is so great. I told her what's going on. And she said, well, okay, well, you know, that's good. I mean, at least you don't have to do it alone. I mean, that's a long time. And, you know, you and Steve, you guys sound great together. So, as always, I think my mom likes you and I together better than she likes listening to my solo radio shows.
All righty, then. Is that included?
And that's all right.
Is that when you're out there in the great Western, the Western Prairie, or does that matter? Does that make a difference if you're in the next room from Jean Grody doing the broadcast?
Oh, right. Yeah, well, no, actually, when I did do the shows,
wow.
Man, I can't talk. When I was doing them from home, it was great because my mom would bring coffee up to my old bedroom, and she would walk in and she would, I'm not saying anything, and she would just put another cup of coffee down. So it was terrific. I would occasionally go downstairs during the breaks and they'd be listening down there, and my mom would be nervous. Like, don't you need to get back up there and do your show? And, you know, so yeah, it's been a while since those days, but here
yeah, that's why we play music bumpers. So we have 3 minutes grace time so we can just play let all the Eagles play out. All right, so what's next on What Mark Heard?
All right, one more from Mike Lombardi, and just as a little tease, still to come on in this segment, What Mark Heard. We will hear from Cody Decker on why, if you're a parent, your travel baseball team is a scam. And
ooh,
then
I love that.
There's another show on the Score, Steve, that is competing with us potentially for a guest and identity on this show that we will play for you here in momentarily. But yeah, keeping it Bears, Mike Lombardi had one more thing to say, and it is about an interesting player whose expectations should be sky high based on last year, and that is Robert Quinn. And Mike Lombardi talked about what Quinn is to the Bears right now on Mullin Hall.
Ask yourself this question. If we're paying Jimmy Graham X amount of dollars, Who else would pay him that? You know, one of the things I think you have to do as an NFL executive is you've got to be able to, you're an appraiser. You're basically the bank appraiser. And every day you've got to appraise the talent level on your team. And you've got to see if the loan that you've had outstanding can hold up. Is there enough collateral? And collateral is within the pay, right? So, for example, you know, if you're paying Jimmy Graham $6.9 million this year, which is what the Bears are paying him, right, would somebody else pay him $7 million next year? I don't know. You know, I don't think so. I mean, Nick Foles is making $4 million. Now, Nick Foles has got guaranteed money. It costs you money to cut Nick Foles, right. So you can't cut him. Akeem Hicks is making $10.4. They talked about cutting him because they could pick up a ton of savings if they did. But he would probably get paid. You know, he would probably still get paid. I mean, so they got to be really careful on what they do. I mean, Robert Quinn is on the books for 11-5. Now, I think what the Bears would like to do is do a deal with Allen Robinson at 17-8 on his franchise number and convert that into and lower his paragraph 5 and then extend him out to get a 4 or 5 year contract. They haven't been able to do that. But right now, Robert Quinn at 11-5 is one of the biggest albatrosses around Ryan Pace's neck. I mean, Leonard Floyd went out and outplayed him in Los Angeles. Now, but he can't get rid of him. He loses $9.2 million of cap room. He can't afford to get rid of him.
Well, and that brings me to the idea that, you know, obviously Robert Quinn needs to be a lot better than he was last year. But I do wonder if Sean Desai, the new defensive coordinator, I think that Robert Quinn's going to get, again, the first reps at one of those outside linebacker spots opposite of Khalil Mack. But they're not just going to leave. Like, if his production is still low this year, they're going to be ready to sit him down and get the next guy up there. And I think one of the guys that they'd really like to see jump to the next level during OTAs and minicamp and training camp is a fifth-round pick from last year, and that's Trevis Gipson. And I'm not saying that he is going to supplant Robert Quinn, but I just think that they're not going to be as patient with Quinn this year, and there's going to be a depth chart or guys breathing down his neck this year for playing time.
That's interesting. I never thought of that. I just thought that they were resigned to their fate. He's our guy. We can't cut him because of the numbers that Michael Lombardi mentioned, and he's a veteran. And you're walking when you're a coach, defensive coordinator, especially in, you mentioned Desai, rookie defensive coordinator. And while he has the Vic Fangio seal of approval, you're dealing with a fine line in a dressing room, and that is this. The players know who's good and who's not. Robert Quinn sucked. The players knew that. But Robert Quinn's a veteran. Were they going to screw with a veteran? Were they going to mess with his time, mess with his chances to make bonuses? Did they toss him off too quickly? And then it always comes back to, will they do that to me? And the veterans generally have sway. They have the voice in that locker room. It can be a tricky thing for a lot of coaches to be able to, we talked about Jed Hoyer threading the needle. This is what you're dealing with in Matt Nagy.
Yeah. Well, you know, last year, Robert Quinn had 2 sacks and 0 tackles for loss. The good part is that in 2019, he had 11.5 sacks, 13 tackles for loss. So the hope is that you can get back to being more of that.
All right. Well, I'd like to see any of that, not just more of that. Any of that would be nice if he looked like he could play and didn't sound like a, you know, just everybody wasn't having to make excuses for him. Look, the players know. The players will be angry. It's not giving us best chance to win. We're here to win the Super Bowl, and you're playing a guy who's not helping us win a Super Bowl. That's one way to look at it. And again, veterans say, wait, you're going to toss him aside like that? Doesn't he get the chance to play? Doesn't he earn something? So
He'll get the first crack at it. But if he's not producing, I don't think anybody wouldn't understand if they were to pull the plug or lessen his playing time on any given Sunday.
All right, you know what? This seems like a good time to take a break, and what Mark heard, we'll pick up what Mark heard with what you told us about Cody Decker and another insidious, nefarious score show that we need to launch an insurrection against, it sounds like.
It's coming up.
We'll do that. He's Mark Grody. I'm Steve Rosenblum. This is our near award-winning segment, What Mark Heard. And this, what you're hearing now is Saturday Suckage on Monday. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Welcome in, welcome back. You've got Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, where you will hear the Cubs' first pitch at 1:20 with certain Hall of Famer Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer and Zach Zaidman. Zach will be here at 12:45 with the Cubs pregame show. This is Saturday Suckage on Monday, a holiday edition. And I do want to, Mark, I want to get to this. 773 texter, you guys suck. Keep up the bad job. And you know, and 847 texter, nothing is worse than Saturday Suckage on a Monday. Great show. Well, that's what we do. It's a public service. We're happy to do that. Contribute what we can. We suck so you don't have to. And right now we're doing our near award-winning segment, What Mark Heard. Share with us, Mark.
So, as you know, one of the things about me, Steve, is I am currently a single man who does not have kids, never have had kids, never have been married. But I do
rub it in, why don't you?
Well, yeah.
Go ahead, rub it in.
One of the things that I do like to do, and I had to give those qualifications because something that I do like to do is give advice to parents. I like parenting other people's kids, and I think parents love that. They love hearing from single guy, bachelor guy, about how to raise their kids. And one thing that I would suggest to you after hearing Cody Decker on Bernstein and Rahimi earlier this week is stop spending so much money for your kid to play travel baseball. And Cody Decker, take a listen to this, Stevie Sunshine, is here to support that notion. Cody?
Travel ball is the biggest con job in all of the country. It does nothing, literally nothing. It's a great way to spend a full college education on just some games against kids that are never going to play at the next level as well. It is a very, very large racket is what travel ball is. And yes, in the United States, it is very overbearing that travel ball culture, in fact. Honestly, I'm glad things are actually starting to shift in another direction. You know, I run a baseball and softball nonprofit trying to make baseball as affordable and accessible as we possibly can with high-end training, but it's more about training and more about developmental, and that's where baseball needs to get back to. The problem is there's not as much money in developmental. Everything's all about travel, going out to tournaments, playing in Florida, playing in Texas, playing all over the country, and you're spending $10,000 to do it when your players and your kids are simply not getting better.
You mean it's not about the embroidered hitting shirts and the embroidered bag every single year? I don't need another bag. You gave us one last year.
No, I'm telling you, it is the largest con job in the world.
Oh, I
don't know how my parents did it. I feel horrible. Because my parents must have spent a ton of money, because I played on a lot of club teams, and I look back, I'm like, why did I play so much? I tore my UCL at 14 years old in my right elbow because I was catching all the time and pitching all the time because I was 13 years old and I could throw 85 miles per hour. I don't think I ever threw 85 miles per hour for the rest of my life because I was a position player and I didn't really need to. I had a good enough arm, but, you know, whatever. My job was to hit. But I was 13 and I tore my UCL because I was playing too much, because no one knew any better except some people that were my coaches, but they just didn't tell me because they wanted me out there to play and win. Because if I'm out there playing well, more kids will want to play on the team, because look, we got the star players and I'm out here getting hurt for a 27-year-old club ball coach. It is an ugly, ugly, ugly business.
Yeah, that is, to me, just fascinating how serious he is about that. And he makes some great points. Like, I remember, Steve, when I was a kid, I played some travel baseball, but it was more like six of us pile in the back of Coach Bob Janik's car and we drive to, you know, Palatine or something like that for my task. Like, that was the traveling league. It wasn't like outside of the state ever. So I would love to hear how you feel about what Cody Decker just said.
I understand that, and I agree wholeheartedly. I don't know that it's the biggest scam. I think there are things to be gained from it, but I was a travel ball dad, and
okay.
I was a travel ball coach, but it was somewhere in the middle between house league and travel. We didn't take jets to Florida. We went as far as, like, we went to Waukesha, Racine, Kenosha, and we did go to Palatine, and we won that tournament. And it involved various levels, because this is a perfect weekend to do that. With the way our schedule worked, the travel tournaments were Memorial Day and Father's Day. Because you could always schedule a Father's Day. What father doesn't want to be with his kid playing baseball?
Right,
watching
that? Right.
And we did that.
That's a great scam,
and,
too. That's perfect.
And Memorial
yeah.
Day, too. The one place that never had games scheduled was Mother's Day. We were never allowed to schedule
sacred,
Mother's
man.
Day. Yeah. So we did hilarious. That. This is the weekend, and this is a good day to talk about that. I will agree that travel ball can be brutal, can kill a kid's interest as well as his body if he can't play something else. And on Brandon's right. case, he played hockey as well as baseball.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't year round. It wasn't baseball to exclude everything else. And all the other kids did when they were 13 and 14. We broke away from House League and even their travel versions and wanted to play a fuller travel schedule. But it was all around here. It was other teams that were just maybe one step above House League. These were just really good kids, good players who wanted to play and wanted to give themselves a shot at playing, making their high school freshman team. So of the kids we had on the team, by the time we ended that season at 14, when their kids were 14, all but one kid made a freshman team, and the one who didn't made a freshman soccer team, maybe the varsity team. And they were all really good athletes, and that was the accomplishment. But we didn't do it. It wasn't 12 months of the year. It wasn't live and breathe baseball. They all played something else. And that's the way it should be. So that's what we did. One of the kids, by the way, one of the kids who was on the last travel team that I helped coach came up in a rabbit hole I went down this week. And he played for the Diamondbacks and the Angels in their
really?
Minor league system. A kid named Zach Borenstein from Buffalo Grove. He was a freshman playing on the Buffalo Grove varsity baseball team. Left-handed power hitter, terrific shortstop, loved by his teammates, great kid. Never got farther, but did have a moment with Team Israel in that 2017 World Baseball Classic, that surprising team. That's part of where Jason Marquis played for that team. Sam Folds played for that team. If you had any kind of if you could prove some Jewishness, then you could play on that team. And they upset South Korea, I want to say, and they made it to the big tournament. And it's a really great story. That was part of the rabbit hole I went down. But that's, anyways, I agree with Cody Decker, a coach that Brandon had put it to me. Put the idea of discussing full-time travel. Not having much experience, knowing that kids could get burned out, he said, here's the thing. Once your kid turns from a cucumber into a pickle, he can't go back to a cucumber. You don't know where that point is. How much baseball makes him a pickle, and then that's it. And he doesn't you don't want him to hate the game. So I let him choose. You play as much as you want to play. And he was playing with friends. And it was fun. These guys liked each other. These kids liked each other, and it was fun. They're still friends with a lot of them. Sees a lot of them, and I just think that was the object of the exercise for us. Give yourself a chance to make a high school freshman team, but have a good time along the way. And we're not gonna again. We weren't flying to Florida in Snoop Dogg's jet because that's the way he was running his travel team.
I'm still trying to picture Steve Rosenblum, the baseball coach. Is it like, Johnny, first of all, put the bong down. Secondly,
no, these kids were never going to put the bong down. They just didn't.
Did you connect their dots for them? When he hits the ball in the right field, you need to score from second. Are you connecting those dots? Okay, very good.
No.
All right.
No, it was it was not it. That was it. But thank you for that.
Parents complaining about you.
Yeah.
I'm projecting that on you. I wish that's what it was, but I bet you were actually a very good coach. But anyway, I'll get Brandon on the show next week. That'll be our surprise guest, and we'll ask him what kind of a coach Daddy-O Rosenblum is or was. But we have a little bit of booking conflict with another one of the shows here on The Score, and that particular show is our afternoon show, 2 to 6. That is the Parkins and Spiegel show here on The Score. Now, as you and I have been discussing for some weeks now, and I think you were the first one to bring it up. I don't even know that I was aware of it. I think you were aware of it before I was. And that's that Ryan Sandberg has become an endorser for a marijuana company. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. That's it. I was trying to think of the name.
An endorser, and I believe he's an investor, both. Yes, that's correct.
Right. So we had talked about, hey, you know what? Maybe the next time we convene as a whole, because I've been doing some solo stuff, that we get Rhino on the show. And not today, because it's a holiday and I didn't even want to bug him. But then I was listening to our afternoon show, and it sounds like we might have some competition for his services. Brandon, roll it.
You host Inside the Clubhouse.
I used to.
Right. You host Hit and Run is what I meant to say.
Thanks. Big fan of the weekend programming.
My apologies. You host Hit and Run.
It's not Saturday Suckage.
I was listening to the Suckage this weekend. It was great. They were trying to
get, I love that
they're
show.
They're trying to get studs to get Ryan Sandberg on. Because of the, you know, the...
Oh, that's the show he should
yes,
go on.
Yes, exactly.
We like to think of ourselves as the weed show, but that's really the weed show.
I had that moment, too. I was like, yeah, it is kind of selfish of us to want him and try and put him on. They should definitely get him first.
Is he talking about it?
No. Disagree. Good luck trying to get him to respond to your text.
Especially got if you lead with that.
And all of a sudden, he doesn't want to come on any shows.
Picked up some hair, found himself a vape pen. Doesn't want to take part anymore.
He was doing some autograph thing in River North yesterday or Saturday, like signing autographs for people. His first official Verilife campaign, but he won't come on the radio show.
He's a good dude.
He's a good dude.
We'll get him on. Talk about his weed business.
I'm going to text him again.
Yeah, text him again.
Tell him. And if it's Saturday's better, we can hand him to the Suckage. There it is. I love Danny's like, good teammate, David Haw.
I love Saturday Suckage.
That's terrible.
Rhino.
Yeah, it was Rhino during Pick a Player. Remember that when for U.S. presidents?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, not a great performance.
Ooh. I don't know, Steve. I mean, it sounds like Spiegel is team suckage, but I don't know about that part. Like, the whole show, except for Parkins and kind of Shane, they're trying to undercut us, it sounds like. Or Danny is, anyway.
Sure, it's all shows for himself. It's all fun and games until one show gets a guest that the other one wanted. And then the knives come out. Well, all I can say is you text Rhino and say, hey, Rhino, you're booked on The Score next Saturday. Me and Steve, no matter what anybody else says or texts you. And then he'll show up and we'll talk to him about, because this is newsworthy, where a guy, like we had Paul Sullivan on, he says, why don't you have Rhino on? Remember we had Paul Sullivan on that day and we were naming, somebody had suggested the Rhine Apple Express and I suggested the Rhine Sandbong a piece of equipment. And Paul Sullivan said, just call it natural, because he was the natural.
Yes. That's very good.
Right. All that works for us. And you just text him and say, we're going to come on. But there's also the thing about Ryan Sandberg was that Hall of Fame speech was about doing it the right way.
That's
playing
right.
It the right way. And whether I can't remember if he actually used respect for the game or not, but his take would be real interesting on two things. One is what Tony La Russa did to your mean Mercedes. Hmm. And what does it mean when a team puts a position player into pitch? What kind of respect for the game is that? Because we already know how he feels about steroid users. And La Russa is a manager who defended them, because that's what's going on. That part of the game. Now, as a guy who excelled in a different era, what does he think of the way they're trying to change the rules? We talked about them, right? All the ones that Theo wants to change.
Just did.
So, right, what does he think? Strike zone changing? What about the shift? Why would that be good or bad? What about players who are only thinking, you know, the three true outcomes because that's what teams are stressing. I would think his view is, because it's always been measured, I think it would be terrific to hear.
Yeah.
And then
so,
what kind of strains does he like, you know?
Yeah. So yeah. Our proposal not only includes like camaraderie and we like Rhino and we have fun with him, but our proposal also has some serious questions and some bigger issues that we can get into, while the afternoon show proposal includes ripping on him for his what they called a poor performance on Pick a Player. So yeah, I think that our case, our proposal is better than theirs.
There's no question. I think all you'd need to do is, hey, Rhino, you get the clip this from the podcast, Mark, and just send him a link that started with Sparkins and Spiegel, Spiegel and Parkins, they were just trashing a beloved Chicago Cub, a Hall of Famer, and then these are the grounds, the ground we want to cover. These are the points, things we want to talk about. And to promote his latest product. He made the point in that he found it to be relaxing and a help. And like he's as smooth as he looked, that quarterback with the quick feet playing second base, as smooth as he looked, it's not like he was never in pain. It's like he's never in pain now. And he's found a legitimate medical reason to help him. So we're, you know, Rhino will understand that we're givers, not takers, and we want to give him the time to talk about that.
Right, and Rhino, he could spark up and just be like, oh yeah, man, those homers against Suter in 1984. I had no idea what was going on, man. That was awesome. I should point out, this is a bonus in our favor. Ryan Sandberg does return my text messages, and I had him on about a month ago, and I text, hey, Rhino, you want to come on? I know you're going on Marquee Network and stuff. And he's like, let's do it. You know, it's that easy. Now, I haven't bothered him since because I like to, you know, I feel like I have to limit my opportunities with Rhino because I don't want to bug him too much. But, yeah, I think we could probably get him on.
Yeah, okay.
And Danny's not even from here. Danny's from Kansas City. He's a Kansas City guy, you know, grew up there, all that stuff. So he's not even from here. Yeah,
he's from Kansas Glencoe, City. Though. Sorry.
Really?
You might as well say he's from Syracuse, but he's from Glencoe. Yeah. All
right. Come on, man. Just go with me on the Kansas City thing, will you? Play radio with me.
We're gonna take a break. We're gonna come back. Who knows? Brandon Fryer is in our ear. How much does it suck to be Brandon Fryer? Can't even produce a full show. He just gets Mike Rankin's leftovers.
It's a dirty inning for him.
Mike Rankin has something important to do. By the way, Brandon, here, come deal with these guys.
Exactly.
I hope you find a good line of work someday, Brandon.
It's a 9-2 game in the fifth inning. We want you to pitch. Come on in.
Yeah, that's right. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Welcome and welcome back. Steve Rosen with Mark Brody with you. Saturday suckage on Monday. 708 Texter, thanks for a Saturday on a Monday. Yeah, well, it feels like a Saturday. We're helping to do that to you. 260 Texter, I heartily endorse the smear campaign to paint Parkins as an out-of-towner. He's KC by way of Syracuse all the way.
Yes, that's what I was trying to do, but you had to poke holes in it, you know?
You mean like with the truth and a fact? Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need truths and fact on Saturday, something, a show called Saturday Suckage. Who are you anyway?
On Monday, Saturday Suckage on Monday is already apparently wrong, yeah. 815 texture, hey guys, just came back home with a wife after walking the dogs through the neighborhood. I had my headphones on listening to your nonsense while she kept talking and pointing to houses. All I said was yes or okay. If I involuntarily agreed to do some kind of landscaping job at home, you guys are required to help me out. You know, that's not, we've never thought of that as a service to offer, as amenable as we are and as publicly minded as we are. We never thought of that as service. If you listen to us and get distracted and your wife has a honey-do list for you and it involves effort, physical displays, then We haven't discussed this among our bong board. So I don't know.
Bong board, I love it.
Yeah. So we don't know. We can't.
Hello. I think we just lost Steve Rosenblum. So it is me. Hey, Solo Suckage is back here on the score. And I was just going to bring up another text, actually, from the 708. Now, this might be somebody just playing on the earlier joke, but they said, from Itasca, that's me, must be a 630, no wonder. And I had asked the question earlier today, I am taking zero offense to people slamming the 630. I do live in the city now, but I am from the western suburbs, so I still, like many of you, have my old area code, the 630. What is the reputation of the 630? Because we always make fun of the 815, it seems like, on the score. Oh, that 815, or, you know, if we get some out-of-town numbers, we'll have fun with it. But I sincerely am interested in knowing what the reputation of the 6-3, like when people think of the 6-3-0 or the western suburbs, what is it that they are thinking of? So I was curious about that particular thing. A ton of baseball today. The White Sox have a doubleheader against Cleveland today. Today is Monday, right? Yeah, doubleheader against Cleveland today. Start of a four-game series against that team. Jimmy Lambert will be pitching. And we are being told, too, that per Tony La Russa, Jimmy Lambert will be allowed 65 to 70 pitches. So that's probably, you know, four or five. Maybe that's even maxing it out a little bit too much. But it'll be a short appearance probably for Jimmy Lambert, but it is a doubleheader, and those are seven-inning games. Cubs hosting San Diego today, so a little bit more of a it is the gauntlet for the Cubs. They host San Diego today, three-game series, then at San Francisco. By the way, San Francisco is good. Four games out there, then at San Diego, then home for the Cardinals. They've got Brewers along the way as well. So this is where we find out about the Cubs for real. And this is where Jed Hoyer is probably looking too. Like, we all see it. Cubs are 29-23. They're a half game back of the Cards. Now just do it against those teams, and then we'll seriously start to talk about what may or may not happen ahead of the trade deadline. I think this show is Rosenblum and Grody, to which we will return after a break. We got another 45 minutes. We are taking you up to the start of Cubs pregame, Cubs and the Padres today. And we'll be back after this on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.